Hello, everybody. This is a special episode of the Fire Breathing Kittens podcast. I'm the Game Master for an upcoming episode where I'll be using the mechanics from the tabletop role-playing game Summer Camp Slayers. You can catch me as Tord Unfrid, playing a similar game that uses a different flavor of the same mechanics called Pirates of the Bone Blade in episode 266 of the Fire Breathing Kittens podcast. Summer Camp Slayers is a tabletop role-playing game designed by Richard Woolcock from Zadmar Games, using his universal Tri-Cube game system. You can find this and more on DriveThruRPG. I'll speak more on the Tri-Cube game system towards the end of the episode here, but for now, let's get into those game mechanics. In Summer Camp Slayers, you roll between 1 and 3 D6 six-sided dice, depending on the character's archetype, and you compare your highest result against the difficulty set by the Game Master. For instance, you may roll 2 six-sided dice and have a 3 and a 5 on the dice. The Game Master sets the difficulty at 5, meaning you have 1 success against that challenge. You start with 2d6 and add a die to your roll if what you're doing falls in line with your trait, and you remove a die if what you're doing falls outside the scope of your concept, but we'll get more into that during the character creation section. The main thing to remember moving forward is that, together, your trait and concept make up your character's archetype, forming half of your character's design. The other half of the character design comes from your perks and quirks. Speaking of perks and quirks, they allow you to influence the difficulty of the challenge you face. You can influence the difficulty of the task by expending one of your karma points to reduce the difficulty of the task by 1 if you can explain how your perk aids you in that moment. You can also decide to make the difficulty of the task harder before rolling, increasing it by 1, describing how your quirk negatively affected you. If you fail a task when using your quirk, you get a karma back, but if you succeed in the task, you get to choose to regain a resolve instead if you'd like. If a player runs out of resolve, they are typically removed from the scene and gain an affliction. Afflictions are described by the victor and are treated as temporary quirks for your player. A character with 3 afflictions is retired from play, although they can be brought back if one of the afflictions is cured. Now that we talked about how to decide the outcome of a challenge, let's find out what happens if you succeed or fail. Succeeding a task with 1 single die above or meeting the difficulty rating will result in a normal success. Any additional successful die roll will be an exceptional success. Exceptional successes typically provide additional removed effort tokens or beneficial effects as described by the Game Master. The same is true, however, for failures, with the distinction being that you have to roll all 1s on every dice for it to be a critical failure. This typically involves losing double the amount of resolve or additional negative effects as described by the Game Master and player, such as gaining an affliction. Some tasks are simple and only require a single success to complete them. There are, however, harder tasks, and in these instances, effort tokens will be used. A harder task can require anywhere from 2 to 4 successes or more, depending on the situation, to whittle down that encounter's effort tokens. Now that we know how the game works, let's talk about creating a character. In Summer Camp Slayers, you select from a list of 4 different options during character creation. Those 4 options, as discussed earlier, are trait, concept, perk, and quirk. At first, all of these 4 terms may sound the same, but they do function differently from each other. So let's get into that. We'll start with the trait. In this game system, a trait is always the same, regardless of the flavor of the system you're playing. A trait is one of the following: agile, brawny, or crafty, the ABCs of Tri-Cube. Agile covers things like quickness, dexterity, reflexes, or stealth. They also roll 3d6 for ranged combat. Brawny covers things like strength, toughness, stamina, or athletics, and they roll 3d6 for melee combat. Crafty covers things like charisma, intellect, willpower, or perception. They also roll 3d6 for mental combat, which is magic, persuasion, or intimidation. Unless something falls within your trait, you will roll 2d6. If it does happen to fall within your trait, however, you get to roll 3d6 instead. For example, a brawny kid would roll 3d6 when trying to lift something heavy off of their friends, but only 2d6 if they were trying to avoid getting pinned by the same object as it's falling, as that would be more of an agile roll. Next, let's talk about concepts, as it's a bit more of a loose idea and changes depending on the flavor of the game type and world you're playing in. The concepts provided for Summer Camp Slayers are counselor, nurse, lifeguard, groundskeeper, cook, activity leader, or kid. Your concept may provide you with additional knowledge or information and interactions with NPCs, but Mechanically, it is only used for when you're doing something outside the scope of that concept. Let's put that into perspective. Let's say you're a crafty kid who is a bookworm and cautious. If you were to try to impersonate a police officer to cover a story that you had about trying to sneak out late at night, trying to investigate the weird things happening in the woods, that would most likely go against your concept as a kid, as it would be unbelievable. When something falls out of the scope of your concept, you lose a die from your pool before you roll, making that challenge more difficult. This can be offset with your trait. For example, if you were instead trying to hotwire a car, it would still be unlikely to happen as you're a kid, but more likely because of your crafty trait, leaving you with the normal 2d6 to roll. Now that we've gone over what makes up your archetype and the type of traits and concepts, let's move on to talking about how to influence the difficulty of the roll using perks and quirks, and which of each exist in the game. Let's start with perks, as they give you the ability to spend your karma points to reduce the difficulty of the roll, making your chances of success better. The perks available in Summer Camp Slayers are Bookworm, Occult Insight, Quick, Perceptive, Persuasive, Advanced Combat Training, or Supernatural Ability. If you can describe how your perk aids you during a challenge, you can expend one karma to reduce the difficulty of the check by one. For example, a player with the perk of Persuasive might be trying to impersonate a police officer, and that character has a Persuasive perk. They could expend one karma to reduce the difficulty of the check by one. In addition, when making group checks, there may be times where your perk allows you to bypass a check altogether. Doing so still requires one karma, however. For example, a character with a supernatural ability may be able to open a locked door with their powers, but doing so would still require the expenditure of one karma. If the character is out of karma, describe how the perk comes up short in this moment. Quirks are things that define your character and make you more predisposed to having a difficult time in certain situations. The quirks available in Summer Camp Slayers are Hothead, Prankster, Cautious, Show-Off, Suspicious, Sarcastic, or Haunted. You can use your quirk to make the difficulty of any check harder by one. If you fail, you gain one karma, but if you succeed, you can choose to regain one karma or one resolve. If you regain resolve, describe how your success, even when facing insurmountable odds, emboldens your resolve. Let's talk a bit now about karma and resolve. Each player starts with three of each and can spend, lose, and regain both throughout the game session. When you run out of karma, nothing bad happens to your character. You just aren't able to influence the difficulty of checks positively anymore. If you run out of resolve, however, you could be temporarily removed from the scene and at best gain an affliction, if not both. For example, if your character is trying to jump off a roof to a nearby tree and fails their check and you only have one resolve remaining, reducing you to zero, your player may go unconscious temporarily. And when they awake, they'll have the concussed affliction. In another case, your character may be trying to, like we said before, impersonate a police officer, and if they fail, perhaps they gain the untrustworthy affliction. Afflictions can be temporary or permanent depending on the severity of the failure. For instance, if we use the examples above, the concussed affliction would be the temporary one, while the untrustworthy affliction would be a more permanent one. Permanent afflictions can be turned into quirks when leveling up to take advantage of them to regain resolve, instead of them just being a hindrance. For example, turning the untrustworthy affliction into a quirk might allow you to lie easier in the future as your reputation fades but the ability to land a false truth sticks like glue. Speaking of leveling up, when doing so in this system, you typically choose a new perk or quirk each level and increase either your karma or resolve by one every other level. You can opt out of choosing a new perk or quirk and instead choose to turn a permanent affliction into a quirk upon leveling up. Now that we know how to create our character and the mechanics of the game, let's talk about combat and challenges. Generally in combat, the game master will go around the table asking each of the players their actions for the turn, choosing the turn order based on what narratively makes the most sense. The players will each choose their action, and the game master will set the difficulty and the trait of the action. For example, a player swinging a sword at a goblin with two effort tokens would have to roll a brawny 5 check. If they were to shoot it, they would roll an agile 5 check, and if they were to use magic against it, they would roll a crafty 5 check. The player would take into account their trait to see if they could add any dice to the 2d6 pool. Your concept does not matter during the combat, as it's assumed each character is trained in some form of combat. The player has an opportunity to make the difficulty higher before the roll, using their quirk, or make the roll easier after the roll using their perk as they see fit, however. If they roll a 5 or better on one of the dice, the attack lands and one effort token is removed from the goblin. If they have more than one dice meet or beat the 5, they would remove 2 effort tokens and effectively remove the goblin from combat. The GM would go around the table, having each player take a turn until all enemy combatants are removed from combat. Challenges are non-combat events that come up during a game, like talking to NPCs, sneaking, lockpicking, or other things, and work in a similar way, with the distinction being that challenges take into account your concept as well. Remove a dice from your 2d6 pool if it's outside of your scope. For example, a brawny groundskeeper trying to use a flamethrower against a zombie might only roll 1d6, as they don't benefit from their trait, and burning the well-kept nature of the camp would probably go against their concept. Many fantasy, horror, or even science fiction settings describe characters with supernatural powers, such as telekinesis, alchemy, psionics. These arcane gifts can be easily represented as perks. A character with such a perk can do anything a trained person in the setting could achieve with appropriate tools, as long as it thematically fits their type of magic. Spending karma allows the mage to perform even greater feats of magic, overcoming any challenge a professional could manage with specialized gear. Mages can choose 3 spells during character creation. These determine how and when they can use their magic. Each spell needs to have a name and a limitation. For example, a fiery bolt might be destructive and light nearby things on fire, or a lightning shield might only be a personal item and have the personal limitation, whereas a illusionary disguise might be a ritualistic spell, and it might take up to 5 or 10 minutes to cast it. You can create more potent spells by giving them additional limitations. This narrows their scope, but as the GM, you should be more flexible when interpreting their effect. New spells are learned during play and at the GM's discretion, usually. Perhaps a wizard could learn a spell from scrolls, or from spellbooks or tomes, or maybe the Game Master awards the sorcerers a new spell each time they gain an advance in level. For the players in my upcoming session, please level up twice. Each level will allow you to choose either one additional perk or quirk. If there aren't any in the list that appeal to you, feel free to come up with your own. Additionally, please choose to either level up your karma or resolve by 1, making it a total of 4. I'd also like you to come up with a monster or creature to tell a horror story about, as it's somewhat thematic for the setting of the game. Hopefully this information regarding the rules is helpful to my players as they build their characters and try to understand the mechanics of this game system a little bit better. For everyone listening, we encourage you to find the Tri-Cube game system and other variants of it, like Summer Camp Slayers, for yourselves and play a game with your friends. If you'd like to hear an example of the adventure, I'm looking forward to playing Summer Camp Slayers in an upcoming session. Thank you everyone for listening, and take care.